Tanks by Murray Leinster. Part 3. Then the roar of engines, of metal treads crushing upon earth and clanking upon their joints, drowned out all possible other sounds. Before the three men beside the pillbox could have moved a muscle, monster shapes loomed up, rushing, rolling, lurching, squeaking. They thundered past, and the hot fumes of their exhausts enveloped the trio. Coffee growled and put himself in a position of defiance, his feet braced against the concrete of the pillbox dome. His expression was snarling and angry, but surreptitiously he crossed himself. He heard the fellows of the two tanks that had roared by him thundering along in alignment to right and left. A 20-yard space, and a second row of the monsters came hurtling on, gun muzzles gaping, gas tubes elevated, spitting smoke from their exhausts that was even thicker than the fog. A third row, a fourth, a fifth. The universe was a monster uproar. One could not think in this volume of sound. It seemed that there was fighting overhead. Crackling noises came feebly through the reverberating uproar that was the Army of the United States in full charge. Something came whirling down through the overhanging mist and exploded in a lurid flare that for a second or two cast the grotesque shadows of a row of tanks clearly before the trio of shaken infantrymen. Still the tanks came on and roared past. 20 tanks, 21, 22. Coffee lost count, dazed and almost stunned by the sheer noise. It rose from the earth and seemed to be echoed back from the topmost limit of the skies. It was a colossal din, an incredible uproar, a sustained thunder that beat at the eardrums like the reiterated concussions of 1,000 guns that fired without ceasing. There was no intermission, no cessation of the tumult. Row after row of the monsters roared by, beaked and armed, going greedily with hungry guns into battle. And then, for a space of seconds, no tanks passed. Through the pandemonium of their going, however, the sound of firing seemed somehow to creep. It was gunfire of incredible intensity, and it came from the direction in which the front-rank tanks were heading. 48, 49, 40-10, 40-11, muttered Coffee dazedly, his senses beaten down almost to unconsciousness by the ordeal of sound. God, the whole army went by. The roaring of the fighting tanks was less, but it was still a monstrous din. Through it, however, came now a series of concussions that were so close together that they were inseparable, and so violent they were like slaps upon the chest. Then came other noises, louder only because nearer. These were different noises, too, from those the fighting tanks had made. Lighter noises. The curious, misshapen service tanks began to rush by, of all sizes and all shapes. Fuel carrier tanks, machine shop tanks, huge ones, these. Commissary tanks. Something enormous and glistening stopped short. A door opened. A voice roared an order. The three men, beaten and whipped by noise, stared dumbly.
"Sergeant Coffee!" roared the voice. "Bring your men, quick!"
Coffee dragged himself back to a semblance of life. Corporal Wallace moved forward, sagging. The two of them loaded their prisoner into the door and tumbled in. They were instantly sent into a heap as the tank took up its progress again with a sudden, sharp leap.
"Good man," grinned a sooty-faced officer, clinging to a handhold. "The general sent special orders you were to be picked up. Said you'd won the battle. It isn't finished yet, but when the general says that—"
"Battle?" said Coffee dully. "This ain't my battle. It's a parade of a lot of damn tanks."
There was a howl of joy from somewhere above.
Discipline in the machine shop tanks was strict enough, but vastly different in kind from the formality at the fighting machines.
"Contact!" roared the voice again. "General Wireless is going again. Our fellows have rolled over their reserves and are smashing their machine shops and supplies."
Yells reverberated deafeningly inside the steel walls, already filled with tumult from the running motors and rumbling treads.
"Smashed 'em up!" shrieked the voice above, insane with joy. "Smashed 'em! Smashed 'em! Smashed 'em! We've wiped out their whole reserve and—"
A series of detonations came through even the steel shell of the lurching tank, detonations so violent, so monstrous, that even through the springs and treads of the tank, the earth concussion could be felt.
"Ha! There goes their ammunition! We set off all their dumps!"
There was sheer pandemonium inside the service tank, speeding behind the fighting force with only a thin skin of reserve tanks between it and a panic-stricken, mechanically pursuing enemy.
"Yell, you birds!" screamed the voice. "The general says we've won the battle! Thanks to the fighting force! We're to go on and wipe out the enemy line of communications, letting him chase us till his gas gives out. Then we come back and pound him to bits. Our tanks have wiped him out!"
Coffee managed to find something to hold on to. He struggled to his feet. Corporal Wallace, recovering from the certainty of death and the torture of sound, was being very seasick from the tank's motion. The prisoner moved away from him on the steel floor. He looked gloomily up at Coffee.
"Listen to 'em," said Coffee bitterly. "Tanks, tanks, tanks. Hell, if they'd given us infantry a chance."
"You said it," said the prisoner savagely. "This is a hell of a way to fight a war."
Corporal Wallace turned a greenish face to them.
"The infantry always gets the dirty end of the stick," he gasped. Now they make an infantry ride in tanks. Hell!"
End of Tanks by Murray Leinster.